Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Thai Beverage third quarter ended the 30th of June 2017 Financial Results Conference Call. I am Nam Phuan of Sukhorangsi, Head of Investor Relations. We will start the call today with a summary of the third quarter results, then we will open the line for Q&A with our management team here. For the summary of the third quarter results, total sales revenue of the company in the third quarter ended the 30th of June 2017 was 45,284 million baht, a slight increase of 0.4% year-on-year. Attributable to the decrease in sales revenue of all segments, excluding scripts due to the effects from the mourning period in Thailand. Net profit from normal operation was 6,795 million baht, or an increase of 15.4% compared to the same period of last year. This was due to an increase in net profit from F&A and FCL, and a decrease in net loss of non-alcoholic beverages. In this quarter, we recognized F&A's fair value gains on financial assets of 8,498 million baht. On the end of August 2017, Thai Beverage through our subsidiary, the QSR of Asia Company Limited, has entered into an asset sale and purchase agreement with Young Restaurants International Thailand Company Limited to acquire more than 240 existing and a number of developing KFC stores in Thailand. The preliminary amount of consideration for the existing KFC stores is approximately 11.3 billion baht, including VAT. An additional amount of consideration for the developing KFC stores, which will be determined at closing, this will enable Thailand to expand further into the food business and to capture the current lifestyle of consumers within the quick service restaurant segment. For the third quarter ended the 30th of June 2017, Spritz business generated sales revenue of 25,477 million, and increased by 4.5% compared to the same period of last year. The main reason was because a low base of Spritz sales in the third quarter 2016, as agents started to delay the stockpiling after we increased price of spritz after Songkran holiday last year. As a result, spritz sales volume increased by 4.3% year-on-year. Net profit of the business improved 2.4% to 4,757 million baht. For soda water business, sales volume of soda water increased by 38% compared to the same period of last year as a result of the launch of Rock Mountain soda water, which has been well accepted by the consumers. Beer business in the third quarter ended the 30th of June 2017 registered sales revenue of 13,781 million baht, or a drop of 7.1% compared to the same period of last year. It was due to a decrease in beer sales volume by 8.7% from continued effect of the mourning period, and from the fact that on-trade consumption has not been fully recovered. Gross profit of the beer business in this quarter grew by 0.03%, resulted from a decrease in bottle and raw material costs. However, an increase in advertising and promotion expenses caused by a slowdown in net profit of the beer business. The sales revenue of non-alcoholic beverages business in the third quarter ended the 30th of June 2017 was 4,349 million baht, dropped by 4.1% compared to the same period of last year, for a decrease in total sales volume. As a result, net loss of the business increased by 41 million baht. For the third quarter ended the 30th of June 2017, sales revenue generated by the food business was 1,727 million baht, dropped by 2.3% due to the slowdown of on-trade consumption. Nevertheless, net profit of the business improved by 10.3% to 32 million baht as a result of an increase in selling price, cost efficiency, and a decrease in depreciation. The sales revenue of international business in the third quarter ended the 30th of June 2017 decreased by 13.1%, mainly due to the exchange translational impact as a result of the restarting and the slowdown of international business. On spirits for our whiskey, most of the core brands actually performed well in this quarter. We will now open the call to any questions for our results. Operator, please help open the line for our Q&A.
Our first question.
Hi, I have a few questions. I guess I can go one by one. The first one is on the spirit sales. You mentioned that we have seen a positive sales because of the low base. But actually, if you look at the same period in 2016, in that period, spirit sales increased almost 5% year-on-year. And I'm wondering, is there any inventory build-up of spirit in this quarter ahead of the excise tax
hike? The general the volume level in the trades remain about the same. We have not noticed any significant build up. The volume has been at this level since 6-7 months ago. So I will there's no additional information on that. But generally, things are doing quite okay in the quarter for the spirit. Perhaps it's because it's a low season anyway, and I think in the past 9 months, the first 6 months, that's supposed to be a high season, we didn't have such a good high season, but on the low season, it didn't quite move back down, as is probably just a base consumption.
I see. You think it's fair to say that we start to see the spirit demand gradually recovering? Are we too soon to conclude that?
Well, did it take? I'm talking about the tax increase, because this time the agent know exactly the tax will increase about September the 16th. So they would not accumulate the stock. They will probably start accumulating stock start from now until September. So actually, it's picking up a bit on the white spirit, yes, and also the brown spirit.
Right. Okay. And then on the second question, I noticed that you have been increasing the SG&A for beer by double digit year on year for 2 straight quarters. So why you decide to push the beer product when the demand is so weak and when we are still in the monsoon period?
Yeah, this element here, for the SG&A, the increase is largely to do with the relaunch of Better Boy. We launched it sometime in late March and went into the last quarter, most recent quarter. So that is basically the key driver for the increase in SG&A.
I see. Do you think that the relaunch activity is pretty much completed, or should we expect it to continue into the fourth quarter?
There are plans to continue, but I think the quantum will be a lot lesser because after the initial launch of Big Bang, we'll kind of drip it a bit. So I think in the coming months, it should be slightly for the investment for Federal.
I see. The third question, you think we should expect an improvement in demand, especially for the on-trade or on-premise? When the morning period comes to an end in this coming October, are we too optimistic?
I think that's what we hope will happen. I think that the general feeling is that we think it should be a positive turn after the morning period. Yeah.
Okay, sure. That's all the question I have for now. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question. Juliana Chai from RHB. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Juliana from RHB. I have a few questions. First, on the spirit side, I understand that Carabao has set up Tawandang to actually compete in the spirit space. What is the management thoughts about this competition, and do we have any defense strategy against this increased competition in the spirit space?
This is Prabhakaran. At the moment, the only brand or product that was launched is White Spirit under the brand of the One Dang. And that's we continue to monitor the level of sale and distributions of the new product that was launched in April. It's too early to say how well it is. So far, we have not noticed any significant movement or sale pickup. I think we understand it's still under the consumer trial. So at this point, we don't have any further comment. So overall, for us, it's a wait and see. We'll continue to monitor the situation and we'll deal with it as it goes.
Okay, then on the new segment, I noticed from the statistics released by the Bank of Thailand that beer consumption in terms of volume has grown by 11%, but it seems like IMAX seeing a decline in year-on-year volume. Is there any increase in competition in the beer space?
Yeah, it's happening here again. We saw those figures also. So of course we kind of were actually quite surprised at those figures and a further look. Basically those figures are production volumes, right? Because what we have done is we validated those figures with what we have. As you know, we subscribe to AC Nielsen. AC Nielsen basically looks at the consumption figures for the traditional trade and FSR and modern trade, which basically covers a good 80% of the market. And based on the AC Nielsen figures, the market for beer continues to actually decline. In fact, for the most recent quarter, it actually declined by about 10%. What we also did was we checked with Tesco figures. They've got these figures which you can actually buy off from Dunnhumby. That figure also shows a decline. In fact, the decline is even more severe. It's at minus 18%, okay, for the last quarter. We also did check with Big C. Big C figure was even more drastic. The drop is about minus 75%. So I think with all these figures, we are quite confident that, at least we are quite certain that the market is still very, very soft for beer and is declining. And the figures from Bank of Thailand are largely production figures. They are not consumption figures. Okay? So, and what we have done for our beer business is we produce very much along what the consumers need. So we do not load the trade because of freshness issues. So hence, you see our decline aligned with where the market is actually trending.
Yeah, then on my last question,
I
noticed that the excise tax cut that is coming in September, does management have any sense as to how much that would impact retail prices?
Well, I think on the excise tax for alcohol, we don't know the rate yet, okay? But from the official, excise official, when they talked to the press, they said they were just the base removed up from wholesale to retail. But the rate they will try just not to impact very much. That's what they say. But we wouldn't know until they plan to put to present to the cabinet on the 12th of September, which is very close to the increase date of the 16th. We hope that it's not going to impact so much. Our policy is always trying to sort of pass to the consumers. For spirit, we have no problem because we are the brand leaders, so we can implement that. But for beer, we probably have to look at our competitors because we are not a brand leader, we are the challenger. So that need to be watched carefully. So we will not be able to tell you what will be the impact, but only hope that it's not going to be too much.
Okay, thank you very much for sharing. That's all the questions
I have. Thank you. Hello, okay. From UBS. Thank you very much for the opportunity. I just have basically one or two related questions. It's in regard to your acquisition of KFC in Thailand. We think that the F&B business, the fast food business, is a lower return business versus your beverages business. So, what's the thinking there in terms of going return on tax perspective? And secondly, it's 11.3 billion baht, your cash levels of 3.3 odd billion. So I would suspect that majority of that would be debt funding. Would that be fair to say? Thank you very much.
Siddhi Thai speaking. You are right. We are debt funding because since our financial statement up to June 30, our debt equity debt EBITDA still below one. But this KFC is a profit business. It's a big quick service restaurant in Thailand. Even we are 100% debt funding. Is still on the bottom line after deduct interest. It's still profit and loss equity. That means that it adds more profit for our bottom line and also add more dividend for our shareholder. This is the game. They need to make an expansion. But expansion, the cash, they can service the debt and can service the expansion also.
At
this juncture is still confidential because it's still not closing. The closing expect on December. We cannot tell more because it's on our S&P agreement. They are not allowed to inform at this juncture.
Okay, thank you very much. That's all for me. Any questions? I'm waiting. You will be. Please go ahead.
Okay, with regard to the competition, on Bunrock's side, you find that they have been rather active, largely on the Leo brand, as well as Yubia. But it's safe to say that for Yubia, they kind of lost the fizzle a bit. You go to the market, especially in the off-trade, the sub-agents and all that, the stock has actually slowed down quite significantly. In fact, the age of the stock now, based on my most recent visit, is about February stock. So it is actually not moving very well in the traditional trade. The only pack type that seems to be moving a bit is the 50cl can in 7-Eleven, but that segment is actually quite small. Otherwise, in terms of awareness, I think Leo has continued to heighten the awareness in terms of visibility and in terms of activities. But we have, of course, responded likewise. So very much what they are doing is in response to what we have been doing in the market. The other competition would largely be a bit of Heineken and Tiger, but that segment is actually very small.
Okay, got it. I have another question regarding the acquisition of PSC. Can you perhaps give a little bit more details on the type of synergies that we can expect? You know, such examples like how does this complement your overall SFC business? And what kind of opportunities can be derived from the partnership with Yum Restaurant?
Hi, this is Tip Nongnot. I'm heading of the food business in Thailand. Yeah, definitely. I think as Siddhi Thai mentioned, the food business is the acquisition is add a value to our portfolio, and it's also scale in terms of the food business. Okay, we see some potential that we can synergy definitely, but at the moment because not closing the deal as yet. So we believe that along the way after closing, we can discuss this with Yum properly and also see opportunities that we can synergy together by that end.
Okay, got it. Just one another question regarding the food business. So I see that there's a slowdown in consumption. Is this the number going forward for the next half or 6 months?
I think this is because of the overall economics, okay? If we look at the food overall business in Thailand, it's a little bit down, but for example, the KFC one is more of the mass consumer. So whatever they offer, it's basically more on the value offering. So that's why they have been a strong number one brand in Thailand for more than 30 years. So I believe that the way that they have run the business together with us, that we keep close to our consumer, learn what they want, and trying to offer them address their needs. So we will be okay. And I think after the morning, more celebration, so more consumer will go to the restaurants, go back to the normal situation.
Actually, for the white spirit, even three is not enough, because white spirit is a kind of a low price product. So logistic logistic share of the value chain is quite big. So you need to have your distillery around Thailand. We have 11 actually on the white spirit. On the brown spirit, the reason we can have only three is because the price of the brown spirit is pretty high, so the logistic share of the value chain is a lot lower. So I don't think we'll make any difference if they have the three distillery. But I have the three distillery, gonna be quite difficult.
Okay. My second question is for you, Chai. Can you provide some color on the history of
Well, I think if you look at our distribution arm, we do have 1,100 cashware, which is covered 270,000 outlets, mainly the mom and pop and retail outlets. And we have about another 1,000 on Sunsu, which cover mostly the FSR, or food service retail, okay? So we are quite well covered. With the two teams, we are quite well covered. And besides, in terms of our sort of logistic, we are quite advanced. And our cost of logistic now very competitive compared to the others. So I feel quite sure that in terms of distributions, we have a lot of advantage over our competitors there. And if you want to compete with what we have now, it's going to be quite a big investment. But just to give you the example, the Tawan Dang, they have about 200-300 cash van. And then that cash van is doing the energy drink. So they just use that to help to distribute the product. We have follow-up their progress. Right now, they probably have about 5-7% of the outlet, which is quite small, after 3 or 4 months.
Question. When I look at the SG&A and sales for both spirits and beer, I think it has gone up year on year. So, we have that in the previous
few costs there that we are focused more on the bottom line and AMP tax will be cut. But given that AMP increase, is it due to the greater competitive intensity or is it something in the economy? Can you more on that? Thank you.
Which one do you want to hear first, beer or spirit? Okay, spirit. Why are you at history and then?
Those numbers are not that significant, isn't it? You know, given the size of the company, the level of spendings are many places, the number have increased just marginally. And that's just comparing to the quarter the year before. So I wouldn't have an answer for that. Specifically, anything we have done specifically that make that changes. It's to us, it's that these numbers are quite small.
For beer, like I've mentioned earlier, it's actually to do with the relaunch of Fedibron. So that's a marketing investment required for the relaunch. Market share for beer is still hovering around 40. Slight dip for this quarter, about a 1% drop slightly. So it's still just hovering slightly below 40.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question, Ian McLeish from Sentinel Versus, please go ahead.
Hi, this is Tip. I think because Oishi, we already have the food and also the beverage, okay? So we expand the food business into the KFC, the M&A. So it's also part of the growth, the strategy for the business. Yeah, it's part of diversification. Non-alcohol.
No, okay, but now it's changed to non-alcohol. Okay,
thank you. It's not changed.
Okay, and then from I should just follow up on one of the answers you gave on beer slightly earlier. So you said that the Bank of Thailand data was production. So if production volumes have increased 11%, but consumption volumes have come down a lot, and I presume that you're not the one to produce all this extra beer, then it sounds like there's a lot of supply out there. Are you concerned about that from a pricing perspective? Because if the major competitor has been producing huge amounts of beer, then does that not put some pricing pressure into the market?
I think the reality is, in terms of pricing, they have already started some sort of price offer. That has actually been going on for the past 3-4 months. Right? So in terms of pricing, we have already managed that accordingly because it's really part of the market situation now. So I think the issue here is very much on the freshness of their beer. Right? So it's very clear that they are stocking up perhaps for the coming excise duty because we are very certain the market has actually slowed down because the figures that they've gotten are from third party and walking in the market and speaking to the sub-agents in the trade, the market has slowed down. No, definitely not. Yeah.
Okay, thanks very much. And then just finally, to finish off on spirits, what happened to the brown spirits, white spirits mix in quarter three?
That's just the way it is. So this quarter and that last quarter.
I think over the last few shortage, you talked about the brown spirits, white spirits growing faster than brown spirits. So what is that pattern still continuing?
No, not for this quarter. This quarter, again, this is the low season quarter. Compared to the same quarter a year before, these are just the base consumption. The mix, the change doesn't move much.
Okay, excellent. Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Just had a couple of things to clarify. You were talking about the spirits just now, your competitor having about 5% or so of the outlets. Did you just mean that their spirit is only in 5% of the outlets in Thailand?
Actually, what we did is we collect the information from our 270,000 outlets that we covered. That's it. I cannot. This is a fact that we get from our own check.
I think what they've been doing is they've been doing a bit of trade deals ever since we've relaunched, and so that has already been in the market, so we can actually factor that in already. So we have been managing our sales according to their latest trade offers. So that's already accounted for.
Okay. And just finally, just one question in terms of acquisition strategy. The way we should think about the KFC acquisition, should we think a little more in terms of it being opportunistic? That was a portfolio that Young wanted to sell and been in the market for some time, or is it a change in strategy that we could expect more and more of these sort of F&B type acquisitions?
Yeah, the strategy does not change. Okay, we have been set up. We have OEG for quite some time, and we also have set up Food of Asia through 3 years ago. Okay, we slowly and carefully select our partner and acquisition. So that is our part of the journey into of the expansion for the growth into of the food business. Yeah, so I think that is part of the strategy.
Nicholas, just to add to that, the strategy doesn't change. However, the KFC franchise acquisitions may be slightly bigger than a normal acquisitions for the food business. But that's answer to what you say, that it has become probably just opportunistic for the deal of this size, given the franchise, the brand, that we see the values in Thailand and what we see as a consumer behavior. We found that this is an opportunity that worth taking on to our food business. Having said that, we continue to look for opportunities, but again, this opportunity is rather sizable for the food business.
Actually, my question is obviously focused on the KFC deal, because based in Singapore, so part of my ignorance and maybe some of the terms and conditions I'm not well aware. And based on the very brief announcement that you listed, there was very limited information on it. So I'm trying to get more insight into the deal. For example, what were the conditions? I understand that you're not the only operator of KFC brand. There are multiple, three in fact, if I'm not mistaken. So how does the crafting out of the brand work? Is there geographic limitations, any other limitations to existing stores that can be certain meters away from
At the moment, because the deal is not closed yet, we expect it by the end of the year, by December. So I don't think that we can disclose that one. Yes, definitely there will be 3 franchisees in the market in Thailand.
Cecilia, we know what we're getting into, what we're saying that we cannot disclose our transaction as what it is. And we have yet to even close the transaction. We have signed an agreement, we will close the transactions in December. And that's the plan. The lay of the land is at about 600 outlets in Thailand, 200 is operated, about 200 is operated by the central restaurant groups, and about 100 something, 130 is operated by private company, a private equity fund that operate in that. And these are the remaining outlets that belong to Yum, so that being offload, and we acquired, it's about 240 outlets as disclosed. So now, so far we can only disclose the price that we paid and the number of that we paid.
Okay, I presume if you close the deal, there will be more information available at the time then.
Yeah. Yes.
And also, if we, and also as it's part of the full business, then you can see the number when we report for the full business later on.
Okay.
I think early on we have explained that the A&P level that we spent for the third quarter in 2017 not that significantly much bigger than what we normally spend, although as a percentage it improved quite with a small number. But you know, I can't really pinpoint to any program that we've done differently. It may just be some number moving around it, but, you know, based on the sale level and the SG&A percentage of as percentage of our sales, these numbers still quite low compared to our other segment.
Okay.
I think basically this trade offer that done was very much in response to our relaunch. So that has actually happened for quite a number of months already, actually. I think this higher stock line in the market has got to do probably with they're trying to preempt the excise duty, perhaps. So otherwise, it's largely to counter our market growth.
Another question is on the non-alcoholic beverages. I think it's an update of that.
To our competitors at the moment. Where it is, frankly, I'm not sure. It could be either in our warehouses, in the factories, in the distributors. But definitely it's not in the mouths of the consumers because the consumption is definitely lower. Like what I've shared with you, the market actually dropped by about
10%.
Not necessary, because I think they will have to manage that accordingly. We do not know how much they produce after the excise duty is announced. Yeah?
Yes, there will be some price adjustment, definitely, but we won't know how much until we know exactly what will be the rate. For the NANEL, we probably know the rate by the end of this month. Yes, the answer is yes, we probably have to adjust the price.
Okay. Also, I believe you launched a premium mineral water.
Oh, why is it like Chang beer? Because we've got Chang drinking water. So I think the idea is very much to enhance the entire franchise of Chang brand itself. To make sure it's basically the aim is to premiumize the entire Chang franchise. So Chang mineral water does the job very well. In fact, it's been very well received. It has definitely created quite a bit of noise in the market and doing pretty well in 7-Eleven.
I see, okay. Also, you mentioned that you have a question on distribution network previously. Particularly on the quick service restaurant segment, can you give a sense of current distribution reach in terms of your beverages?
At the moment, because the deal is not closing yet, so I don't think that we can confirm anything.
After the morning period, everybody hope that thing will go back, come pick up a bit. But there's one information that you should know, because the morning period for government official is 1 year, which means that there have been no celebration whatsoever in the government sector from October last year, and it will end by the October of this year. So that consumption segment will definitely come back in November. This is all I can say.
This is Egapol looking after human capital. The accrual of this year has been on track with what will happen, so it should not be of that situation. So the accrual of this performance year is as per what we will need to spend, so that should not be extraordinary bump that may have happened last time.
Andy, could you tell CFO? I would like to more elaborate to you, more calibration to you. This year, since last year, we are September, year end closing September. When September 2016 compared to September 2015, they had a difference because September 16 is a closing. September 15 is not closing, so you cannot compare. But different from this year. This year, September 17 compared to September 16, both are closing. So every accrual comes to the same level, no any difference.
Yes,
same level, yes, come from you.
Penetration is we are slowly growing that segment, because that's one segment that we were previously quite weak. Currently now, I think if you look at the major chains, like what some of these chains are actually locked up by Bunrod already. So for the open outlets, fair to say that we are in about a good 80-90% of the open outlets. If we are, like recently we have gone into MK, That's a chain that used to be locked out previously from us. So we are continually focusing on that segment as and when possible. When the contracts have expired, we will definitely penetrate into that segment. But fair to say, currently for the open market, for the open segment of that market, we are about 80 to 90%. So the first question, with regards to Federbroin, yes, we have seen an increase. In fact, we have gained about 0.5% share in the modern trade since the relaunch. So it has been very encouraging volumes, although from a low base. In terms of marketing expense, yes, besides Federbroin, we also have an increase in charm, largely because the first quarter activities that we could not organize due to the morning period. We actually kind of push that later to this quarter. Okay?
Yes. Thank you.
Our next follow-up question, Ian Aglash,
Sure.
I'd just to pick up on the point you made about Federbroin. So if I'm understanding correctly, you overall in beer, you've lost about 0.5% share. Is that correct? You gained 0.5% share with Federbroin, so that means that Charm has lost share. Is that correct? Has lost about 1% share.
Okay, like I've mentioned, overall they kind of lost close to about 1%. Let me add some color to this slight drop in volume share. I think the launch of Ubian, that has actually cost us about 0.3%. That's a figure we've gotten. The other 0.7% is largely to do with Sing change in the size of the bottle, because they used to be in 500 cl. They have since changed the size of the bottle to 620. And just by the increase in volume, in terms of units, actually they have sold slightly less. But because of that increase in volume, we have kind of lost about 0.6% share, volume share. But in terms of per unit share, we have more or less maintained, plus minus.
Okay, so predominantly Sing has taken share due to the pack change.
Yeah, due to the pack change, just because of the volume from 500 to 620.
Okay. So we're hearing that Sing are stocking the channel, they've changed the bottle size, and are being aggressive in terms of pricing. Is there anything else that's happening that they're doing?
So far, after the relaunch of Ubia, nothing else.
Okay, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you for joining Pirate Conference Call tonight. If you have more questions, please feel free to contact IR Department at ir@pirate.com. Thank you and have a good day.